16.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. And it says very simply, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And we've looked at the nature of lies, who's the father of lies, the push upon us to refer to or to lie, the push upon us to lie, the temptation that's there, why it's there, what we do with it, and the damage of it. This morning, I want to pick up John 18, verse 37, if you don't mind. There are those who resist the truth, and it doesn't matter what it is. It could be you sitting in the doctor's weight scale. It could be looking at your bank account. It could be hearing something from the pulpit that you don't like. It could be hearing something from a friend or a relative about something you've done that you don't like. But there are people who refuse the truth. John 18, verse 37 says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And what was Pilate's response to Jesus' claim? Well, verse 38 says, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. People who wander around spiritually because they've resisted scriptural truth will, like Pilate, come to a place of agnosticism. Agnosticism is where you're not entirely sure what you believe or what to believe. Do you believe in God? Do you not believe in God? Do you believe, what denomination of religion do you want to be a part of? A lot of people fall into that, and that's because they've been turned around so much by some of these scriptural lies. Other reasons would be, as we just read, because they don't like certain aspects of it, right? We like to go to the Pentecostal church because it's fun. We like to go to this church over here because they've got a great potluck dinner after services. We like going over here, but we keep bouncing around because somebody brings up scripture we don't like. And so we're going to leave this church. Then the next step that I've seen after that is, after having heard something they don't like, they pretend that because they heard something they don't like, their emotions have been so irreparably damaged that they are now a different person and will never be the same again. Again, what a joke. If you are expecting to live in a world and not have to deal with truths you don't like, you're not going to enjoy your time here. We're going to all have to confront things about ourselves, about God, and about the way the world works we don't like. But that does not give us the right to reject the truth of it. A thief is always a thief. A liar's almost always a liar. When do they stop doing so? When they stop doing the things that make that happen. When they begin to repent, or when they've repented and they've turned themselves to the Lord, then they have changed. Right? We cannot sit there and tell lies to pretend that we've been any different. It is much like somebody saying, hey, I've made great changes. Well, when did you make great changes? Starting yesterday. You know, I can tell that to my doctor every time I go see him. Matt, how's the diet going? It's going fantastic. How long have you been on it? Since yesterday. But yet we aggrandize things. We reject the truth of it. It's not going good. It's not going good. I repented of this sin. It's come back. Or there's this thing that's going on, and I know that I've got to deal with it, but I refuse to. So we see that in the realm of religion. We see that in the realm of our personal lives, and it becomes quite a problem. When we reject the truth, or we try to manipulate the truth, when it comes down to our personal lives, we open ourselves up to vulnerabilities. It's almost like a pretend naivety. And we end up garnering more punishments and more issues than we would if we just told the truth of it. Proverbs 12, verse 19 says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There are four main reasons why people lie. Number one, to get revenge. You hurt me, so I'm going to say things to other people about you to hurt you. Or we'll aggrandize. Or we'll aggrandize an interaction that took place. You know, you run across somebody, maybe they're having one of the worst days of their life. And next thing you know, you're going from person to person going, can you believe they didn't come over and say hi to me? Do you believe the look that they just gave me? For all you know, they're holding back tears and frustration and who knows what's going on. You know, we had a guy like that coming to work. He was just down. Normally he was a loud guy. He was somebody you talk to a lot and he'd just work into the conversations. He came in, he grabbed a cup of coffee, grabbed his work for the day and just left. All the guys were all mad about it. Well, I don't know why he's mad at us for. And they imagined all these things. And well, did you know that the last time I took the on-call phone for him, he didn't even say thank you to me. And they really cooked this guy over. You know what the problem was? He lost his dog the day before he had to take his dog into the vet. Didn't even stop to think. Didn't even stop to wonder. Didn't ask the man. Just made up a bunch of stuff because of an imagined slight. And, oh, yeah, well, did you remember that time that he did this? Remember that time that he did that? We try to control the truth about other people. We try to make things up about other people to make ourselves look better. And in the end, that doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, I remember telling two particular people, you keep dumping on each other and telling lies about each other and making the other one out as though they're a complete villain. Have you ever felt good about it? Have you ever been like, I'm satisfied with what's taking place here? Neither one of them could say yes. They said, we keep swiping and we keep punching and absolutely nothing ever feels better. Nothing is ever satisfied. And that's exactly what that's done. That's not what that's going to do. It's never going to satisfy us. Only the truth can satisfy. Only forgiveness, only repentance can satisfy a rift between two people. There is no win. We will consume and consume revenge. But we will never be satisfied. They might know for a fact that that person has done no wrong, but they're more than glad to paint that person in that light. And the more the wicked imagination sits, the more lies it makes up. We must be very careful with this. Next, we see to make a profit. This is the person who knows the odometer on the car he is selling has 350,000 miles on it, but tells the prospective buyer that the odometer has only gone over 100,000 miles once because it will help him make a few more $1,000s. And we're familiar with that kind of lie. We got to be real careful with that kind of lie. The, hey, this thing is the greatest, the salesman's lie. It was that thing I kept getting in trouble for not wanting to do, right? Well, this is perfectly good. This is brand new. This is fine. That was my thing. They told us one time, hey, listen, if the carpet on the floor is younger than a year old, even if there was another tenant on it, tell them it's brand new carpeting. I said, well, no, it's already had people on it. You know, I'm not going to sit there and have, you know, a cat living in this home and then tell everybody we put down brand new carpeting. That's inappropriate. That's not right. So we understand the salesman lie, the one to sell something, the one to make things better for oneself. The next is to escape punishment. It could be punishment or it could just be ridicule, anything to stop you from looking bad. These people deny their involvement in activities that would get them in trouble. They lie rather than admitting culpability or to make themselves not look foolish or wrong. And what I keep trying to tell the kids is these lies that you tell do more to make you look foolish than just telling the truth would have been. You know, you come in and you got that that Brady Bunch problem where one of the kids knocks over the vase. Well, who knocked over the vase? And I can't remember who knocked over the vase in that episode, but somebody knocked it over and a bat came in. And a bat came in and swooped in and knocked it over. I jumped and I tried to rescue it, and that's why the other thing got knocked over, and that broke, and that broke, and I tried my best, and in the end, you just look more foolish than you began, because the truth will out. The truth will come out. No purpose to it, only going to make you look more of what you're trying to avoid looking like. And the next, of course, is to impress people. This is the fisherman's lie, right? Two ardent fishermen met on their vacation and began swapping stories about the different places they had fished, the kind of tackle used, the best bait, and finally about some of the fish they had caught. One of them told of a vicious battle he once had with a 300-pound salmon. I didn't look this up. Do they get that big? No, they don't get that'd be a big fish. And the other one began to tell a story about how he had snagged a lantern with his line out of the depths of a lake. And the other one guy goes, well, now that I think about it, that fish was about 350 pounds. And the other guy goes, well, now that I think about it, as I brought that lantern up, the lantern was still lit. And they sat there in silence for a while, and the guy goes, how about I take 200 pounds off of my fish and you take the light out of yours? You take the light out of your lantern. Deal. Just these aggrandizing stories. Oh, back when I was a kid, I tell you what, I could run 500 miles without a drop of water. Man, when I was a kid, we used to work this. We used to do this. We used to, these lies that uphill both ways, you know, just the things that we would say to aggrandize ourselves, to make ourselves look better. There's nothing you can do with a lie. You can't fix yourself with a lie. You can't improve yourself with a lie. All you're doing is putting makeup on something. That's really all you're doing is, we used to say with enough caulk and paint, you can make anything look new, but it's not new. It's not. You know, you could sit there and you could try to hide the sin. You could hide the mistakes. You could hide the frailties. We could do all that the best we can with lies, but eventually we're going to be found out to be worse than what we really are. And again, that's where the truth comes in and is so very important that we stick to it. Because again, not only will we be found out, not only will we make ourselves foolish, but we will still have God to answer to for our behavior. And of course, you got those people who don't just like to reject the truth, but they like to rearrange the truth. Some people rearrange what they know to be true about a person. They are revisionist historians concerning the truth. Going back to our verse, it says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." In doing this, there are three things to watch out for. Number one is false speech. People every day have their hearts broken because of those who speak falsely. Again, going back to our illustration of the guy who was really sad, so he just stormed in, stormed back out. You know, in that, well, we've got to control the conversation about this guy. I might possibly be hurt. So we need to make some of this stuff up. We need to build this up. And what is it? It's talk for nothing. It is false speech. No part of it is true. No part of it is accurate. None of it is useful. You can't do anything with it, right? Well, he's probably out there goofing around. Matt, you better go over there and make sure he's doing his job and blah, 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 blah. By the way, he did his job perfectly that day. He's a good guy. He's having a rough day. But the words that were being said, this is the source of gossip, or this is the fuel that pushes gossip down the road. These are the grapes in the grapevine. These little quips and little quirks that we throw out there. We think we're so clever to bring up this. And I'll tell you what, if they're doing that, they're probably doing this. And the next person to hear the tell hears that they're definitely doing the made-up thing. And then we're going to add several other things onto there. And again, I get it. There's the rush. We're not supposed to talk that way. There's that carnal desire to put other people down so you could feel better. And a lot of people live the whole part of their lives living that way. But it ain't no way to live. You're not going to make a lot of friends that way. You're not going to have a lot of fulfillment in your life. And God's going to require something out of you because of that behavior. Next, there's the malicious people. There's that malicious accusation. Some people thrive on spreading these things. It's political. It's a political year, so let's go ahead and dive into that. Well, you are a fascist. And these people, college educated as they may be, don't know a fascist. Well, you just think people should be able to say whatever they want. You're a fascist. go the other way around. When you control what other people have to say, that's being a fascist. Well, you think that people should just be able to go out and own weapons. I think only the government should own weapons. You're a fascist. You got it backwards again. Fascist, bigot, phobic of things. These are all weapons. These things are all these malicious things that we throw back and forth. What's that? You don't agree with me? Well, then you must be an X, Y, or Z. And to me, that's how I know I've always hit dirt. That's how I know I've gotten to the bottom of, how did I put this to somebody one time? I said, you've got the intellectual depth of a pudding cup, and that sound is me hitting the bottom of it. You know, they called me a name. We were having a biblical discussion. It was all nice and calm. They ran out of ammo, so they started throwing rocks. You know, that sound right there, you calling me that? That's how I know I got to the bottom of you. That's how I know there's nothing in there. Study, then come back. Study, and then come back. And that's what people do. If I can't beat them, I will put them down. And we as Christians, we need to be the most aware of this. Why? Because it happens. Somebody walks into a church, people start looking down their nose. I've had compliments of people who've come and said, hey, normally when I go to church, people make faces. Normally when I come to church, people have something snide to say, because I don't feel that here. And I've heard that a couple times, and I appreciate that about this church, but we got to maintain that. Because it is easy to feel as though we need to insult others to feel good. If that's what you need to reexamine your relationship with God. There's a problem there. Because as long as I'm standing close to God, I know what I am, and I am ready to put anybody down because I know what I am. So again, we must be very careful with that, because it seems the better your behavior is, the easier it is to put other people down. I was talking to a young man yesterday on the phone, talked for a good hour and a half, just talking about why he doesn't like to go to church. He goes, well, every time I go in, I feel like I get into these... You know, people look down on me. People say bad things about me. I go, okay, but why do you go to church? You go to church for them? Now, let's be clear. The reason why people were having a hard time with him was because he was a hard person to get along with. It's the truth of the matter. He was a hard person to get along with. And I reminded him of that guy. You know I love you, but you are difficult. Every time I go in there, it just kind of feels like people are looking down on me. You know what? Why do you go to church? Listen, if you've never gone to church and had somebody publicly embarrass you, you've done good. I have. Ever go to church and have somebody be mean to you? I have. Been in church for a long time. You hang around a bunch of sinners for a while, that's going to happen. Guess what? Happens down at the bar, happens over there at the ball game, happens all over the place. You get around people enough, that's what's going to happen. In the church, out of the church, down there at the farmer's market, you will run across rude people. That's going to happen. But why do I come to church? I don't come to church so people can, hey, you're a good-looking fella. No, I come to church because that's what the Lord wants me to do. I come for the Lord. A lot of people, why left? Because so-and-so said something unkind to me. I didn't know you were going to church for so-and-so. What a disappointment you must have gone through to have hero worshiped that person so high, and then they put you down so you felt as though you had to walk away from God. That's big stuff. No. I sit there, I look at them, I go, man, I don't know what sin's eating you up, but I'm going to forgive you. You're not standing in the path between me and the Lord. He died on the cross. He saved me. He's prepared my life. He has protected my life. And he has provided many things, many needs that I have had in miraculous and wonderful and sometimes downright entertaining ways. God has provided for me. And he has shown his love to me. When I have wept, I have felt his presence. When I have need of wisdom, he has supplied amply. When I didn't have knowledge, he put people in my life with knowledge. I'm telling you, there's not a person that should chase me away from the Lord. How? And we'll look tonight about this whole losing your salvation thing, but I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes rough stuff's going to happen. You can't quit, but we can't be the reason why rough stuff happens unduly. Right? We shouldn't be the reason. Somebody comes in and they're acting a fool and they're making a mess. It's okay for us to be stern. But if we just think that somebody's of a less caliber than us, then we need to recheck what we are. because we've missed a step somewhere. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The name calling, the abuses, the I don't want to use the word judgment, but just the condescension that'll sometimes happen. That's what the evil mouth will do. However, we need to be righteous. And of course, we have good old-fashioned slander, good old-fashioned slander. I came into your restaurant, and not only was the food cold, but the service was rude, and I choked on an entire buffalo hoof while I was eating my food. It's just disgusting. And the person operating the business goes, sir, we're not open for another 4 months. We just signed the lease. We just hung the sign on the door. You know what I mean? Just the good old-fashioned slander. Why? Because we're angry. Why? Because it makes us feel proud. Proverbs 12:17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. Slander was commonly used in the Bible by those who felt the need to cover their own sins. When Joseph refused to be sexually seduced by Potiphar's wife, she falsely accused him of attempting to rape her. When John the Baptist preached against Herod's adultery, living with his brother's wife, he was imprisoned as a rabble-rouser and eventually beheaded. Jesus himself was also often the target of the Pharisees' slander. We see in Luke 7:34, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. It was always the religious crowd that slandered Jesus. They were incensed by his popularity and felt threatened by his large following. And again, when somebody else doesn't have anything left in their arsenal, here come the rocks. And they'll do the best they can to insult and put down. And whether it's true or not, doesn't matter how big the lies are or not. A Christian needs to deal with the truth. If you don't know, go look. If you're wrong, get right. But this whole thing where we throw insults. Dr. D. James Kennedy said, slander is often the product of envy. When we are jealous of others' popularity, success, or capabilities, we sometimes slander them in an attempt to make ourselves look good. And again, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm going to leave that one alone. And what we end up doing is we end up ruining our lives by rejecting truth. We end up ruining our lives because truth is unchangeable. Truth is solid. When you make decisions in your life, you have to go by the truth. If you are going to build something, right, you can't build a house by guessing at the lengths of the boards. You have to know. You can't route the plumbing without knowing the exact dimensions of things and measurements and things like that. Those of you who sew and do things, you need to know the sizes and the shapes and the everything. If you're going to drive somewhere, you need to know how many lefts, how many rights, and where to put them. Right? We need to know facts. We need to know truth. And if you ignore the truth, you ruin your life. Whatever project you're on, one sleeve's going to be longer than the other. One pipe's going to be too short. You're going to have a board. You're going to have five boards that are supposed to be the same size that are five different sizes. And that's going to lead to a major mess. We were building the back deck. It was a wheelchair ramp going all the way up to the back of the church. And we were working on it. And we got maybe an eighth of an inch off. And we didn't notice it till we got pretty far in the project. We were a whole inch and a quarter off by the time we caught our mistake. And we're just sitting there going, well, why isn't this working? Why does this look so bad? Because we're moving the boards down and things are getting wider. Well, what happened? Why does this look so bad? So we go back and we have to remeasure. We rip off all the boards and we're putting that on there. Bunch of 20-something-year-old kids don't know nothing about nothing, you know. And we're just trying to get that thing back together, just making mistakes. You don't get the details right, you're going to make a mistake. And if we purposefully go with lies and slander and false truths, we're going to be unable to build something proper. Why don't you have proper relationships? Because every time somebody makes you mad, you go to gossip, right? Well, none of my friends come to me with their problems. Yeah, because you go to them with everybody else's problems, right? I used to have that saying, big ears love a big mouth, and a big mouth loves big ears. But the ears and the mouth, the ears seldom tell the mouth anything. Seldom tell it anything. We're too scared. That's the gossip. That's the person who's going to call. They're not going to pray. They're not just going to pray with me. They're going to pray on me. And that's not something we're comfortable with. When we enter into that sort of a thing, we make messes of our lives. We make messes of our relationships. We make messes of a lot of things. James 3 verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a manner a little fire kindleth. I tell you what, a church can take 100 years to build and it could take about 30 seconds to burn. I've seen that stuff. Well, what happened? Well, it was a lot of little things, just a lot of arguing and bickering that took place. Why? Well, so-and-so said something to so-and-so, and then so-and-so lied about it to so-and-so, and then the pastor tried to get involved, and there was a lot of people who didn't like that because so-and-so was a really big part of the church, so it just became a thing. They got rid of the pastor. Then no pastor wanted to come back, and after a while, our numbers dwindled, and then we split. We split four different ways, and those churches died, and now we're left here with the building, and it happens. Why? Because we're not careful with the fires we start. We're not aware of what they could do. Verse 6 of James chapter 3. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiled, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Some folks are just downright arsonists. You hear them react to things, you hear them say things, and you go, man, you've got no control over that whatsoever. And we do a lot of damage. We need to be really careful. Four preachers gathered for fellowship. During the conversation, one preacher said, our people come to us and pour out their hearts, confess certain sins and needs. Let's do the same. Confession is good for the soul. After initial hesitation, they all agreed. One preacher confessed he liked to go to the movies and would sneak off when away from his church. The second confessed to smoking cigars. The third admitted to playing cards and learning to gamble. When it came to the fourth one, he wouldn't confess. The others pressed him, saying, come on now, we confessed ours. What is your secret or vice? And that pastor said, gossip. I thought it was funny. That was funny. What do we do when gossip enters in? I liked George Yontz. George Yontz sang a song. It was called The Rumor Mill. And believe it or not, Bill Gaither or the Gaither Group or whatever turned it into a cartoon, turned like this cartoon thing, and they made George Yontz's character a bullfrog. If you know George Yontz, you know that sounds just about right. But he sang the song called The Rumor Mill, and his conclusion to how to fix gossip in the world is to, to shut your lips and kindly ask your friend to do the same. But there is more to it that we can do. Number one, we do shut down the gossip. We do refuse to hear it. If we do hear it, we take it to that person. My personal favorite. I haven't heard gossip in a long time because that's my favorite move. Hey, let's go talk to him. Hey, I'm going to call him real quick, see if this is true. Whoa. Now, hold on. Now, what's wrong with it? If we're allowed to talk about it, why can't we talk about it to him? We know why. That's my favorite. People start, when people get to know me and they've seen me do that a couple times, nobody comes with the, well, I think they're doing this. Well, let's call and ask them, hey, is this what you're doing? No, okay, all right, because I was over here with, you know, so-and-so, and they said that so-and-so told so-and-so who told so-and-so that that's what you were doing. Oh, no, just, okay, I got you. Yeah, just go into the doctor's office. I hear you. All right, well, you have a good day. And oftentimes, that's exactly what it boils down to. A very easy misunderstanding. A very easily provable misunderstanding that we have set fire to. So number one, we shut it down. We get the other person involved. Somebody came to me and they said, hey, I've been real suspicious of this, of our pastor. And I said, well, he's in his office. Let's go. And they're, no. I went anyway. Not because I want to humiliate somebody, not because I want to embarrass somebody, but because gossip is a dangerous thing. If there really is something bad going on, we need to address it before people in the church get hurt. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. We don't let bad things continue on. If somebody is in danger of hurting themselves through either their sin or poor behavior, as their brother, it is my job to compassionately and humbly come to them and say, hey man, what can I do for you? Because this is what the gossip is, and I really want to help you avoid this. You know, out of love. So we want to make sure problems don't take place. And if it's not true, we want to make sure that everybody knows it's not true. We want to put an end to it. The number one, I want to pray for the one who gossiped. Leonard Ravenhill, we never pray for folks we gossip about, and we never gossip about the folks for whom we pray. We need to pray for the person being gossiped about. We need to pray for the gossiper. We need to speak kindly. We need to be honest. We need to be honest. Well, what do you think? I think I don't know enough. But if you had to guess, what would you say? I think I don't know enough to be commenting on somebody else's business. And even so, I'm not an expert on whatever that is. I think we should go talk to them. We need to be honest. We need to be flat with it. I'm not going to deal with this. We also need to forgive those that gossip about us. Forgiveness can be very hard, but when practiced, it gets a whole lot easier. Well, did you hear they said this about you? Did they really? And the last time somebody came to me with something like that, I kind of chuckled. Did they really? Yeah. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to forgive them. Well, are you going to go talk to them? Yeah, I'll go talk to them. And I want to go talk to them and say, hey, I heard somebody said, that's what you say. You know what they said to me? Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you. I got that completely wrong. I've transgressed. Please forgive me. That's not what they said. They said this. Well, that's just what I thought. They didn't ask for forgiveness, but they got it anyway. I win. You know what I mean? They didn't want forgiveness, but they got it anyway. I win. And that's what we do. We shut it down when it comes to our door. We drag the truth out into the light. And we forgive those who trespass in that way against us. And next week we'll look at the truth and reveling in the truth and how we can build into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've known how many of your churches where the gates of hell might not have prevailed against it, but the people were weak. I pray, Father, that you give us strength in controlling our tongue. That, Father, we would care about the wrong things being done enough to address them, but, Father, not make sport of it, to gossip and to take glee or mirth from it and share it around. But, Lord, let us instead address it honestly, openly. And, Lord, I pray that those that hear of their sin repent and that, Lord, the whole idea, the whole purpose of it is to honor you with the truth and, Lord, build again each other up. So help us, Lord, to have good intentions and honest hearts and honest words. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.